Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for an all-new episode of The Cody Springer Show, available on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Amazon Music Weekly. Ever since 2018, Cody has given you one of the most real and uncensored podcasts on the internet, talking about real-life issues, pop culture, sports, and everything in between. Welcome to The Cody Springer Show.
What's good, ladies and gentlemen? The Cody Springer Show is back. How's everyone doing today? Episode number 93. Today is Wednesday, April 14th, 2021. Hope everyone's doing good today. And man, it has been busy for me here as of late. If you guys haven't heard the last three podcasts I did, they were all interview podcasts. I interviewed Big Figure J, and I interviewed singer-songwriter Carrie Warburton, and also interviewed singer Michael Waves. So yeah, I have three really good interviews with those particular individuals, and they're all great in my opinion. Go check them out if you haven't already. And, and I also want to address, give you guys an update on the movie Cold Game that I've been talking about on and off here on the podcast. I talked about it a little bit with Keith when he was on the show. Well, I know we've been promoting it, you know, that Marcel was going to be the star of the movie. Well, Marcel had to drop out of the film. It's the end of an era for me and Marcel, cause you know, he's been a big part of my entertainment career, and you know, he's been a frequent guest on the podcast, ever since the show started back in 2018. And yeah, it's an end of an era. You know, I mean, me and Marcel, you know, we kind of started on this journey together back in 2017 when we started our YouTube channel, CNM Entertainment. And then, you know, we had the CNM podcast, which is floating out there somewhere on the internet. I think it's on CastBox, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, if you guys want to hear the all those old episodes that Marcel and I did, then search up the CNM podcast on CastBox. But yeah, Marcel and I, we've had a pretty up and down friendship, to be honest, especially over the last 2 years specifically. Just a lot went down, and I'm not going to speak on everything because, you know, it's personal and shit like that. But, you know, Marcel and I kind of had a come to Jesus moment the other day, and I kind of just laid out all my feelings on the table. You know, I kind of told him how I felt about him, and everything that he was doing wrong that I didn't approve of, you know. And Marcel, you know, he agreed with me. He's like, you know what, man, you're right. You know, I haven't been doing the right things, and you know, and that's why I need people to be honest with me, because you know, people just keep dropping hints and shit, and they're just not being straight up with me. So, and then Marcel, you know, he agreed that it'd be best if he dropped out of the movie, because he's actually going to pursue a dream of his, and that's going into the United States Marine Corps. Now, a couple years ago, he tried to go into the Marines, but they disqualified him the first time around, because, you know, they saw some scars on his body, and they thought he was, you know, self-harming himself and stuff like that, so they were concerned about his mental state. But now, you know, Marcel is getting his ducks in a row this time around to go into the Marine Corps. So therefore, Marcel will not be in Cold Game. And I think his entertainment career as of now is, you know, has come to an end. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm not saying that not in the future he may not, you know, ever get back in entertainment, because he might, you know, you just never know. But as of right now, you know, it's an end of an era for me and Marcel. You know, I mean, you guys might remember the show we did, C&M Entertainment, which is still available on YouTube and Facebook. So yeah, if you guys want to watch those old episodes, you can. But as of right now, you know, the C&M chapter of my career and Marcel, you know, it's come to an end, you know. So as of right now, you know, I stand by his decision. You know, I support it, because I think that him going to the Marines is a good thing, you know. And hopefully that points him in the right direction in life. And yeah, man. So, I mean, Marcel and I, we got some work to do to repair our friendship and stuff like that. But, you know, as of right now, you know, I support his decision. So therefore, you know, there is an opening for my movie, Cold Game. So if you're in the Northwest Ohio area, or if you're willing to travel to the Northwest Ohio area, and you would like to audition for the lead role in the movie, you know, you can hit me up. You can send me an email, CodySpreener0391@gmail.com, or, you know, you can hit me up on Twitter or Instagram @TheCodySpreener. So yeah, I wanted to talk about that, because, you know, I mean, like I said, Marcel was a big part of this show, and he was a big part of my entertainment career up to this point. But as of right now, you know, I'm moving forward. You know, I'm moving forward with my career, you know, just going solo, and I have things that I'm thinking about doing in the future, you know, and not just with film and podcasting. You know, there's stuff that I'm thinking about doing that you guys may not expect of me, but, you know, once more details come out about that, I'll be sure to let y'all know. So without any further ado, let's get into the show.
It's time for a social media plug. Be sure to follow Cody on Twitter and Instagram @TheCodySpreener. You can also like this podcast's Facebook, which is facebook.com/TheCodySpreenerShow. Now let's get back to the podcast.
So we're going to start off the podcast talking about Jake Paul. Jake Paul, as some of you may know, he has another boxing fight coming up against Ben Askren. It's this coming Saturday night. You know, and I said, you know, several weeks ago that if Jake Paul beats Ben Askren, then I will come on here and say that he's a legitimate fighter. So, therefore, on next week's episode of the Cody Spreener Show, if Jake Paul can beat Ben Askren, then I will state here on the podcast that Jake Paul is a real fighter, that he's a real boxer. But I highly doubt that's going to happen, but we'll see. You know, we'll definitely see. But that's not what I'm here to talk about. Jake Paul is being accused of sexual assault. It was TikTok star Justine Paradise. And I don't know who she is. I don't really watch TikTok personalities or anything like that. I just don't really you know, get into TikTok or anything like that. So I have no idea who she is. I did watch the video she put out about this situation. You know, she dropped like a 20-minute video talking about her experience with Jake Paul. Now, Justine Paradise, she alleges that She went to the Team 10 house in California. Because, as you guys know, you know, Jake Paul, Team 10, you know, they had that big mansion and shit. Well, yeah, she alleges that, you know, in July of 2019, she went to the Team 10 house, and then when she got there, she had to sign a non-disclosure agreement when she entered the house. So, I mean, that already seems kind of suspect. So, yeah. So, in the video, she says, and I quote, "One of those days, I was in the studio. Some people were recording down there. And Jake pulled me into this little corner area in the studio and started kissing me. I was fine with that. I did think he was cute." And then they proceeded to go into the bedroom. And that's when things started to get, you know, more serious. And she wasn't cool with that. You know, he started to try to get sexual and whatnot. And she said that Jake Paul kind of got pissed and said, you know, if nothing's going to happen, what's the point? And then she alleges that Jake Paul proceeded to take off his pants, force his dick into her mouth, and started fucking her face until he reached orgasm. Like, I'm not saying that, you know, to be graphic. That's what she said in the video. You know, I mean, you guys can look up the video. That's what she said, you know, pretty much that, you know, he did that. You know, and yeah, she said that she wasn't cool with it and whatnot. And she said that, you know, she's coming out now about it because she thought that she wasn't legally allowed to discuss it because she signed that NDA. And then she found out that she could talk about it and whatnot. So, as far as what I think about this whole situation, like I said, you know, anytime a female comes forward and says that she was sexually assaulted or anything like that, you know, you gotta question it. You know, this happened 2 years ago, allegedly, you know. And you guys know I don't really like Jake Paul. You know, I think he's a douchebag and stuff like that. But at the same time, you know, I mean, is there any evidence to support this claim? I mean, you know, she claims that she had to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement. So therefore, she wasn't allowed to talk about certain things that were going on in the Team 10 house back in 2019. Now, Jake Paul has denied the sexual assault allegations. You know, he put out a statement on Twitter. He said, "Sexual assault accusations aren't something that I or anyone else should ever take lightly. But to be crystal clear, this claim made against me is 100% false. Not only have I never had any sexual relationship with this individual, but this claim is solely a manufactured accusation and a blatant attempt for attention during a highly visible fight week. Make no mistake, I plan on pursuing this defamation of character case to the fullest extent of the law. There are irreparable damages from these types of accusations. And more importantly, false allegations of this nature diminish those who have truly been victims of misconduct. Again, this individual is directly using the attention from her social media posts and video to promote her adult content website and Amazon shopping list, designed for people to buy her gifts. These allegations come conveniently for her, almost 2 years after the alleged incident in the week of my fight. At the time of her story, I was in a relationship, and as someone who was a mama's boy growing up, I respect women and mothers more than anything. I most certainly have never laid a finger on a girl without their consent. I will fight this to the end to the end to prove my innocence. This isn't the first preposterous allegation made against me in my career, and most likely won't be the last. As someone who has lived in the spotlight since the age of 16, dealing with liars, fake news, and false accusations, unfortunately, is a part of this job. I won't back down from it, and years from now, my character as an individual will show and shine through these dark moments. Used a lot of big words in there. You know, I didn't think he was capable of using these big words. I don't know, maybe his publicist or whatever the fuck, you know, told him to say this. I don't know. But in all seriousness, though, he's gonna sue her for defamation of character, you know, and I mean, like, yeah, this whole situation is very tricky. You know, I mean, did he do it? Did he not do it? Is there any evidence that he might have done it? We may never know. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, there's two sides to every story. There's three sides to every story. You know, there's his side, her side, and the truth as to what actually happened. So, we'll have to see if there's anything else that comes out about this story, you know, between Jake Paul and Justine Paradise. He does make a good point, you know, that this story, you know, and these accusations come out on the week of his fight against Ben Askren, you know, because that's the thing, like Jake Paul and Ben Askren, you know, it's going to be a big, big fight, you know, as fucking crazy as that is to say, because, you know, Jake Paul is trying to play boxer, you know, and Ben Askren is a legitimate fighter, you know, so. But like I said, you know, we'll just have to see what else comes out about this. And like I said before, you know, if Jake Paul does defeat Ben Askren, I would be more than happy to come up here and issue a statement saying that Jake Paul is a legitimate fighter. I'm telling you, but I don't think it's going to happen. So, yeah, we're gonna just kind of have to see what happens here, and let's see if Jake Paul gets his ass kicked by Ben Askren. All right, let's talk about Aaron Donald. As you guys know, Aaron Donald plays defensive line for the LA Rams. Apparently, he has some assault charges pressed against him. Because apparently something went down over the weekend at an after-hours club. It was between 3 and 4 a.m. Aaron Donald and this guy by the name of DeVincent Spriggs, they got into it at the club, and Aaron Donald beat him up. And I've seen the pictures of this guy, DeVincent Spriggs, and holy shit, dude, this guy got fucked up, man. Like, wow. Like, his eye is swollen shut. He's got cuts and shit all, like, around that area, too. Like, damn, dude. If Aaron Donald did fuck this guy up, then I wouldn't want to fuck with Aaron Donald, dude. Like, holy shit, man. Because, wow. I mean, you guys got to look this picture up, man. Like, his eyes all fucking puffed up and shit. And, yeah, man. And he was asked, by a reporter, he said, "Were you assaulted, sir?" He said, "Yes, I was." "Was this unprovoked?" And he says that it was, or his lawyer said it was definitely unprovoked. "I've instructed him not to make any comments, but as you can see from his right arm in a sling, His eye is closed, 16 stitches in his eye, and a concussion, and other severe injuries he suffered. This is a severe incident. So, yeah, man, I don't know what to really think of this. I mean, I don't know about Aaron Donald personally, you know. I've only seen him on the field, but, yeah, I've never, like, really heard of him being violent like that, man, you know. I think, from everything I've heard, you know, Aaron Donald is an upstanding guy and stuff like that, and if this was really an unprovoked attack, then what the hell, dude? I'll definitely say that if it was an unprovoked attack, then he will definitely be suspended by the NFL. And yeah, man, I mean, cause here's the thing, man, like, you just don't fuck somebody up like that for no reason. You know what I mean? Like, I know people, like, kind of do that sometimes, you know, they'll attack somebody for no reason, but still, man, like, come on. Like, holy shit. Like, that right there, man. Like, you have got to piss somebody off for them to fuck you up like that. All right, we got an update here on the Deshaun Watson situation. Last week, it was there was two emergency hearings and about the case and the whole lawsuits, and now all 20 plaintiffs that are suing Deshaun Watson have been identified, and one of the lawsuits have been dropped against Deshaun Watson. Tony Busby, who has been the lawyer for the women in this whole saga, he made a statement saying, in light of privacy and security concerns, plaintiff has decided not to pursue her case for now. Plaintiff reserves the right to refile this case when such concerns are addressed. Now, people are saying, Rusty Harden made this move for the plaintiffs to be identified, you know, so that way some of the plaintiffs would hopefully drop their lawsuits. I don't think that's really was the case. You know, Rusty Harden was saying that, you know, that they needed to know who was making these accusations. And he's got a point. Now, the plaintiff that dropped the lawsuit, you know, she alleged that on March 22nd that Deshaun Watson assaulted and harassed her by exposing himself and touching her with his genitals during a massage appointment in Houston in July of 2020. Now, I made a whole podcast talking about the Deshaun Watson sexual assault allegations. I broke down every lawsuit and its gory details. And I saw this a lot, you know, saying that he exposed himself and touched her with his genitals. How? How is he doing that? Again, it's not specific. Like, how was he touching her with his genitals? Was he like flopping his dick around or something like that? Well, I'm like I said before, you know, I'm not trying to make fun of anybody or make light of the situation, but I mean, just come on, like, be more specific, man. Also, you know, there's two women who have publicly identified themselves. It was Ashley Solis and Lauren Baxley. Ashley Solis spoke out publicly, while Lauren Baxley spoke out in a letter that she had written to be read by a lawyer from Busby's firm. And I saw the video of Ashley Solis and whatnot, and to be honest, I kind of feel like that whole thing was an act. I really think it was an act because, you know, she was like crying and stuff like that and reading from a paper. Like she was reading a script. It felt like it was rehearsed or something like that, man. It didn't feel genuine, you know, and she was saying how Deshaun Watson ruined her life and that she can't, you know, be a massage therapist anymore because of him and stuff like that. Like, oh my God. You know, it just kind of felt like it felt disingenuous to me. You know, and like I said, if I'm wrong about Deshaun Watson, then I will gladly retract my statements and I will apologize and I will say that Deshaun Watson is everything that they're accusing him of. But until I see hard evidence on the contrary, then I can't say that Deshaun Watson is a sexual predator because there's no hardcore evidence to suggest this. But yeah, the whole thing's ongoing, you know. I mean, it's going to be a while before this whole situation gets resolved. You know, the NFL is still continuing their investigation against Deshaun Watson. So yeah, we're just going to have to see how this all plays out. But yeah, man, I mean, it's April. I mean, as we get closer to August and September, you know, for the new season, you know, like, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, man, because, you know, I mean, if the NFL doesn't suspend Deshaun Watson, you know, how is this going to impact the Texans going into training camp and in the season? And who, and yeah, man, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
There has been some great special guests on the show as of late, such as content creator Big Figure J, singer Carrie Warburton, and artist Michael Waves. Go back in the show's archives to listen to those interviews.
All right, let's talk about WrestleMania 37. And I'll just say this, man. It felt great to have a wrestling pay-per-view in front of fans, you know, because, you know, COVID-19, you know, it's definitely affected everything live events wise. You know, we've had no concerts. We've had, you know, sports held in front of limited amounts of fans or no fans at all. And the wrestling business, you know, they've had no fans in attendance, period, until WrestleMania. We had a two-night event in Raymond James Stadium, the home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for WrestleMania 37. And I just want to talk about some of the key moments from WrestleMania and some of the matches that were just important and integral to WrestleMania 37. Bad Bunny, yeah, rapper Bad Bunny and Damian Priest went up against The Miz and John Morrison. You know, I mean, Bad Bunny was training as much as he possibly could to get good enough to wrestle in this match. And Bad Bunny, you know, he surprised me, man, because, you know, going into this, I was just like, oh, really? Another celebrity getting involved in professional wrestling, like, for real? But no, man, Bad Bunny, man, he did great. You know, I think he had a great performance here at WrestleMania 37, man. He looked good, and, you know, he went over on The Miz. You know, he pinned The Miz in the middle of the ring, and him and Damian Priest won the match. You know, I think Miz and Morrison did a good job of making Bad Bunny look good, you know, for sure. And yeah, man. And I don't know, maybe this will lead to more business between Bad Bunny and WWE in the future. We had Asuka versus Rhea Ripley for the Raw Women's Championship. It was a pretty good match. It wasn't as good as I was expecting it to be, but it was still a pretty good match. Rhea Ripley looked great. You know, Asuka looked great. But I don't know. Like, the match didn't, it wasn't as good as it could have been, in my opinion. You know, like, they definitely worked hard, and in the end, Rhea Ripley defeated Asuka to become the new Raw Women's Champion. And I would definitely say that this win here cemented Rhea Ripley as a star. It definitely did. Because, you know, Rhea Ripley is someone who people have been looking forward to seeing on either Raw or SmackDown, you know, because she competed on WrestleMania last year against Charlotte for the NXT Women's Championship, and I thought that was just a fucking crime that she lost to Charlotte last year. And then coming into this year's WrestleMania, you know, she wins the Raw Women's title from Asuka. So I'm hoping here that, you know, for the future, Rhea Ripley here is going to carry the Raw Women's division as champion. And then we had Bobby Lashley against Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. This match actually opened night one of WrestleMania, and it was a good match, man. You know, I really enjoyed it. You know, it was a hard hitting affair too. You know, this feud had so much intensity and animosity between Lashley and McIntyre, and yeah, man, like, they got me into it. And in the end, Bobby Lashley defeated Drew McIntyre by submission with the Hurt Lock, and I think that was the right move, to be honest, because Lashley, you know, he needed this. You know, he needed to continue being champion and to certify himself as a legitimate champion. So, yeah, and it looks like Bobby Lashley will continue to carry the Raw brand for the next few months. And then we'll go to the main event of Night 2 of WrestleMania 37, Roman Reigns defending the Universal Championship against Edge and Daniel Bryan. This was a great main event to close out the show. Yeah, man, like, just three guys, three of the best in the company. Three of the best of all time, to be honest. And, you know, it was awesome. It was a great main event. You know, we had some cool spots. You know, Daniel Bryan getting powerbombed through the announcer's table. And fucking Edge, you know, he got Reigns in that crossface, and then he had that piece of that chair, and he launched in Roman's mouth, and he started torquing on it and shit. Like, oh my god. And then of course, Daniel Bryan came in and applied the Yes Lock. So, yeah, so Edge had Roman in the crossface, and then Bryan had him in the Yes Lock at the same time. And then the end of the match, I thought, was pretty good. You know, Edge, you know, he was going to that dark place, and he wanted to hit a concerto to both Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. I mean, he hit the concerto on Bryan, and then Jey Uso came in, got back involved in the match. Edge speared him, then Roman speared Edge, and then hit a concerto on Edge, and then he grabbed Edge and threw him on top of Daniel Bryan, and Roman pinned them both. So, and with that win, in my opinion, Roman Reigns can now officially enter the discussion of the greatest of all time in WWE history. Because, come on, man. Roman Reigns has won every championship there is to win in WWE, man. You know, he's been a tag team champion, Intercontinental champion, United States champion, WWE World champion, and Universal champion. So, yeah, man. And he's had four WrestleMania main events in a row. You know, and then his fifth one in this past weekend, and fuck, man, Roman Reigns has done so much shit in his career, and it's not even close to being over with. And the only thing that Roman Reigns has not done is win Money in the Bank. Like, that's the only thing he hasn't won. So, but yeah, man, I think Roman Reigns definitely can enter the GOAT conversation with his win this past weekend. And then the main event of night one, and in my opinion, the match of the whole weekend, Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks for the SmackDown Women's Championship. These two girls right here fucking killed it, man. They really did, man. They had a hell of a match. You know, they fucking pulled out all the stops, and it was a great match, man. You know, they really told a story here. You know, this was an emotional moment for both of them, and they definitely deserved to main event night one. You know, in my opinion, this was the match of the whole weekend, and Bianca Belair, man, had that fucking hair whip of fucking doom there. Man, damn, the smack of that, man. Like, she took her fucking hair and whipped Sasha Banks in the stomach with it. And hell, Sasha had a fucking a cut on her chest or on her side from that. And I was like, God damn. Holy shit. Like, how thick is that hair, man? Son of a bitch. But then, and then Bianca Belair hit her finishing move, the KOD, and became the new SmackDown Women's Champion. So, yeah, man, that was a great way to close out WrestleMania 37, Night 1. I definitely would have to say that Night 1 was the better of the two nights. Night 2 was okay, you know, but there were some questionable things that happened that just left me going like, what the fuck, you know? But all in all, WrestleMania 37, you know, it was a great experience all around, you know? And it was the first WrestleMania on the cock. I mean, Peacock, sorry. you know, as part of, you know, their deal with Peacock, NBC Universal. So, yeah, I would say the first WrestleMania on Peacock was a success. Definite success. And I think WWE should definitely give themselves a pat on the back. But the question is now, is WWE going to be able to keep this momentum going? Because they have a history of not being able to do that. You know, I think it was 2 weeks ago that I had talked about No Life Shaq and Michael Rainey Jr. being hassled by the police, and how, you know, and Michael Rainey Jr. was afraid that he was going to be shot and killed. Well, unfortunately, there was a young black man who was killed by a police officer. A white police officer. Dante Wright, 20 years old, was killed by a police officer. Her name is Kimberly Potter. This happened in Brooklyn Center, Minnesota. And this was a traffic stop. Now, let's go into detail about this now. At around 2 p.m. local time, April 11th, 2021, Brooklyn Center Police pulled over Dante Wright on 63rd Avenue North for traffic violations, as something he was hanging from his rear view mirror, and the vehicle's registration tag had expired. Officers ran his name through the database and learned that he had an open arrest warrant stemming from pending charges for first-degree aggravated robbery with a gun after posting a $100,000 bail. Wright had allegedly violated the terms of his release by again possessing a firearm. Based on that information, police attempted to arrest him. A body camera showed three officers approaching a white Buick LaCrosse. An officer on the driver's side opened a door, and Wright stepped out of the car. He had his hands behind his back as an officer attempted to put on handcuffs. An officer later identified as Potter approached him and the other officer. Now, Dante Wright struggled with the officers, broke free, and got back behind the wheel of his car. And then Potter said, "I'll tase you." And then she pulled out her gun instead of her taser and shot him. She said, oh shit, I just shot him. So, after he was shot, he drove. He collided with another vehicle near the intersection of 63rd Avenue North and Catherine Drive. They administered CPR, but he was pronounced dead at the scene. Wow. I don't even know anymore, to be honest. Like, this is just ridiculous, dude. When is this shit gonna stop happening, dude? When is this shit gonna stop happening? Like, here's the thing. Dante Wright, you know, violated his, his bail and stuff like that, you know. He shouldn't have tried to resist. But that doesn't, but how do you mistake your taser for your gun? How? Anyways, moving on here. The officer who shot him, you know, she resigned effective immediately. And now she's being charged with second degree manslaughter. Yeah, man, I don't know what to say, to be honest. But this is just, you know, growing. This is just continuing this ongoing problem of police brutality against blacks, you know. And it's just bullshit, and it's so fucking unnecessary. Like, how do you mistake your taser for your gun? I don't get it. I'm gonna end the show here talking about DMX. He unfortunately passed away. This is just a big loss for the rap and hip-hop community. DMX, on April 2nd, he was in critical condition after he had a heart attack from a drug overdose. And he was deprived of oxygen for too long. And they tried to resuscitate him, and he ended up in a vegetative state from lung and brain failure and no brain activity. And then they decided to take him off life support, and he passed away on April 9th. He was 50 years old. It's real unfortunate, man. You know, like here's the thing, like, people don't appreciate you until you're gone. You know, like, people don't know how good they have it, and people don't really appreciate anything until it's no longer there. And now that's the case with DMX, because his, you know, streams have been going through the roof and stuff like that, you know, since he's passed away. And yeah, it just goes to show, man, that people don't appreciate anything until it's no longer here, you know? And that's now the case with DMX, you know? And it's happened with so many rappers, too, that have died, you know, like Tupac and Biggie and XXXTentacion. And, yeah, man, like, people didn't really appreciate them, you know, when they were alive. But now that they're gone, people love them. You know, like, Polo G said something in one of the songs, you know, they only love you when you die. And it's true, man. You know, it's very true. But, you know, like, DMX, you know, he You know, I listened to his music when I was younger. You know, my favorite song from him was X Is Gonna Give It To You. I also like Party Up. And then Rough Riders Anthem, of course. But, yeah, man. I mean, it's just unfortunate, you know, what happened. You know, obviously DMX, he was, he had some demons, and I'm hoping that he's in a better place now. So, therefore, rest in paradise, DMX, Earl Simmons. All right, guys, that'll conclude today's podcast. I'd like to thank everybody for listening and supporting, as always. And I'll be back at y'all with a brand new episode of the Cody Springer Show soon. Peace.